I stand. I want us really to remember, especially this evening, Brother Nigel's mother-in-law, Mary, that the Lord will really touch her, and she's not too good, and she needs a real touch from the Lord. And also, I've seen Brother Keith had up to pray for Sister Candace, and I've messaged him, but I haven't got a response yet, so I'm not sure. We just want to pray for Sister as well, Sister Candace. And you know, I was thinking that wee song when we come in the night, and Shelly used to sing it, there's a miracle in the making for you today. Your Father's working one out right now.
Amen.
And you know, God is a miracle worker, and I want to try for a few moments tonight to talk about praying for others. And I want to turn to the book of Acts, and you can remain seated this evening. Acts chapter 12, from verse 1 down, and I want to read from verse 1 down of Acts chapter 12. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in a prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him attending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them out of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had thus considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. There's something important in this text tonight. They were still praying when he was at the door. Let's bow our heads again this evening and praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your mercy and for your grace. And we pray, Lord Jesus, knowing that we have access because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have open access from your throne room into your very presence, because the veil is rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the way is made into the holiest of holies. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is our living high priest that is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And we come before you tonight, Lord, and you know every need we have, and we ask you to wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like as of sanctify us, and fill every one of us afresh with your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Ghost, and I take by faith the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do. Lord, I pray for Nigel's mother-in-law, Mary. Father, I'm asking you for mercy tonight and grace. Lord, that you'll touch that wee woman and raise her up in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for Davy Jones again as well, for a complete deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for Sister Candace and Brother Keith. Lord, touch her dear sister, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for any others this evening that need your miracle touch, touch them and heal them in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, there's a lot of things you can take from this portion, but I want to look at some examples of prayer, and there's three things what you can take from this text right away. And number one is they prayed to God. That's the number one thing. They prayed to God. And then another thing is prayer was made specially for Peter here. Special prayer was made for Peter. So they prayed to God and they prayed for Peter. They were specific who they were praying for. And prayer was made not just for one or two people, but the church prayed. Now we know the church, we're part of the church, and you could be a group away over somewhere else and you're still part of the church. So every group that's met praying to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were united here in praying for Peter. So the church is to pray. And the church is to pray for people that need prayer. And we as part of the church, and as a church here, or a fellowship, we are to pray. If we want to be like the first church, we're to follow their example, and they prayed for people, as we often hear saying, that couldn't pray for themselves. Now, Peter was able to pray for himself, but Peter needed a miracle, and God certainly gave him one. He gave him a mighty miracle. He went so far as sending an angel. He actually sent an angel as a man, because he saw him, and there was a light and everything, and he was actually in shock. Because when that angel brought him out, he thought he was dreaming or in a vision. He was in shock, but it was a real thing happening. Amen. So the church knew, the church, it existed, and it knew, it had a founder, and the church today is a founder. And we know, let me say it like this, the church then knew its founder. And the church then also knew that it was in a conflict with an enemy. And we as a church today need to know we have a founder, and our founder is not the Pope of Rome. Our founder is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're in a conflict with the devil. And when things happen in our lives and even in the fellowship, instead of blaming one individual, we need to blame the devil. He's ultimately responsible, because the Bible says in the accuser of the brethren, and the Word of God tells us we're to put on the whole armor of God. Now, Peter went up not expecting what happened to him. He's jailed. But the Lord delivered him out of it. Amen. It also knew that its power, it had power. The early church knew it had power and prayer to confront the enemy. And we today need to know also that we have power and prayer to confront the same enemy. Now I'm going to try this evening and show you that them people was no different than me and you. A lot of us think that God couldn't do it with us, that they were some way superior to us, but I'm going to show you tonight they weren't. They were no more superior than you and me. And the Bible is clear, God is no respecter of persons. And if God could do it then, God can do it now, or else he's changed. And Malachi 3 and 6 says, I am the Lord thy God, thy change not. Hebrews 13 and 8 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we cannot preach a changed God. We must preach that he's the same. And if he's the same, he can do the same things. And you cannot set people up from any other age to be superior till a different age. That's not scriptural. That would mean then some race was better than another race, when the Bible says we're all one flesh, one blood. And that God's no respecter of persons. Now, what they did know, they realized was how the power. They realized that power, they knew that. But, it was about finding that power. And we could maybe know tonight we have power, but we need to really find the power. And even though we know we have power, we don't realize how much power we actually have. Remember, said to God, there is power beyond what we can grasp this evening with God in prayer. Once Peter was was safety out of the prison, the angel left him. When he was safe, the angel left him. I'm telling you, many of us, maybe not even knowing, have had deliverance by an angel, didn't even know it. God's protected us. I believe there's people in this room God has spared and God has protected, maybe because somebody was praying for you. Amen. Now let me tell you, I went to get my van washed the other day. I was off and I went to get the van washed and a bag of coal. And there's a wee fellow over at Baton de Gay, sells tires. He's called Wayne. I don't know if anybody here knows him or not. But he was as wild as a hare. Not being wild. Now you remember it came on the news one night and there was two young men that were chopped to pieces over that direction and it made the local news. Well, Wayne's father prayed for Wayne and he used to go and lift him and he was out of it with drugs and drink and he'd bring him home. He never condemned him. He prayed over him. And he prayed over him for years. Now, I know a lot of people's attitude would be, put your boot in him, throw him out, and do this to him, and do that to him. But I'm going to tell you one thing about a devil. You will never cast the devil out with your boot or your fist. It won't work with him. It's a spirit. Only the anointing of God, the power of God, will do that. The physical, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're in a warfare. But Wayne's father continued to pray for Wayne. And God saved that man. But he was telling me the other day, the night them two boys that happened and it made the news, he was meant to be with them. He was actually meant to be out with them drinking that night, them two men. And him and his girlfriend, they're married now, they had a bit of a barney and he went back to her house or his house and he drank there instead of going out with them two boys. But his father was praying for him. There was no accident that he didn't go out with him. God spurred him. Because somebody was praying for him. Praying for others works. Pray. You might see it with your eyes. You might think looking, nothing's happening. But God's already answered. God has already answered. Once Peter was saved out of prison, the angel left him. And when Peter came to himself, he realized he wasn't dreaming that he had truly been delivered by the angel of the Lord. He headed straight for Mary's house, where he knew his fellow believers were gathered together. And he headed to Mary's house. God had already answered the prayer, brought the deliverance, and they were still praying. Now, do you think they jumped with joy when they saw and said, "We praise you, Lord. We're so spiritual, us fellas in this meeting, that we know you've answered our prayers right away." None of that happened. None of that happened. They were shocked. But yet they were praying for it. Follow me, because I want you to, I'm trying to emphasize the insignificance of them, but yet God answered them.
Amen.
So that you can never say, God wouldn't answer me. I haven't enough faith. I didn't feel it. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Even when you don't say, think it's going to happen, God can do it. God can still do it. He'll answer your prayer. And even if you have unbelief, God can still answer your prayer. Do you know why? Because of the grace of God. It's God's grace. Many times we'd want to give up, but the Lord never gave up on it. He answered it the first time. When he knocked at the door, a girl named Rhoda went to answer. Verse 13 of Acts 12. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Isn't it tremendous how God had answered the prayers already? Peter here was standing at the door while they were still kneeling down to the door of heaven and praying. Peter was out. God had done it while they were still praying. Isn't that something? Doesn't the Lord Jesus say, before you ask, I'll answer you? There's not what he says. And while they were asking, Peter was at the gate. God done it. That's how mighty a God we serve can do it. God was knocking at their door with the answer. They were knocking at the door of heaven in prayer, and Peter was knocking at their door. That was God knocking at them. Here's the answer. You asked before it and here it is. And you sometimes are shocked. Amen. Now look what the church said they wrote in verse 15. We believe every word of it. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You know, there's no way Peter's at that door. He's in jail, woman. But what were they praying? They were praying for his release, but when it happened, they didn't believe it. Now that's the people that some people would tell you and me, they're superior to us. And God could do something then that he couldn't do now. See, that's not right. They're not superior to us, and they're not less either. They're just humans like you and me. They have days they're down and the days they're up. And the days they're in and the days they're out. They've low days and high days. And none of the days matter. God will still answer.
Amen.
And when you're praying and you don't feel a thing, and the heavens are brass, God will still answer. Then when you're on your toes and bouncing, it'll still answer. Because God answers prayer. And I want to encourage you tonight to pray for that man or that woman that you think they could be in chains. Peter was in chains in a physical way. God released him. He sent an angel the whole way. You know, I'm going to tell you this evening, and I don't know how to explain this to you. What happened with myself, I don't really know how to explain it. But you know, when I was put in jail the second time, and I received a tremendous prophecy from James McConnell, sitting in the balcony, that the presence of the Lord would be with me in a very special way. Well, it was in that jail. I knew it was. There was a sense of a presence all the time with me, the whole time. Now, I decided I would take Brother Howard back to that jail. You know, where you can go and visit it for a tourist attraction. And I'm going to tell you a wee thing. See, when I got in there, I wanted out of it. I was sorry I went. I did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy it because I didn't have that presence what I had when I was actually jailed. I know that sounds crazy, and I know the Lord didn't leave me or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I can't explain that to you, but I did not enjoy going in. I didn't enjoy it. But yet when I was in it at that first time, the Lord was with me in a special way, and people got saved. And I tell you, God can be with you in a situation. When you're in a situation that you have no choice to be in, let me say it like that. You can be forced into a situation in your home and work or something that you have no choice to be in. If you'll pray to the Lord, he'll bring you deliverance.
Amen. Right.
The Lord will bring you deliverance.
Amen.
And you could have a job. You could have another job you hate. I have had jobs in the past. I hate it. I hated them. Remember serving my time. I was in a wee place in Tremor, and I was getting £35 a week, and the boy sent me to clean out drains. And I says, I'm not here to clean drains out. And he more or less said they had me sacked if I didn't clean them out. I says, well, you may go and get my P45, for I'm not doing it. I was meant to be learning joinery and working with wood, and he wanted me to clean drains out. And you see, the day I was to be released from the Crumlin Road Jail, the day I was to be released, an hour before they released me, they gave me a suit and they sent me to clean drains out at the back. And the boy wanted me to tell him I wouldn't clean them, so that he could have an excuse. You see, when you get jailed, say you get 4 months, you serve two. But if you break certain things in there, you can do the 4 months. So he wanted me to give him cheek, and I wanted to give him it, but I didn't. I went and cleaned them. Because the time I had spent in it was enough. I wanted out. I can tell you. And I was in a wetsuit cleaning drains, and there before I got out, and then I was released. I was set free. Now I know what it's like to be in jail. I know what I'm preaching about. I was in jail twice. And I was glad to get out. Now, I can't say I was in jail like Peter. Peter was handcuffed. You think of the way Peter's in jail and see these disciples, they were beaten and everything many times. They were abused. They were harshly treated. Our brother John Mason on Sunday, they crucified them upside down and everything. A horrible death for the Lord. Man of faith. Look at what you're saying. And they said to her that night, and she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then said they, it is an angel. But Peter continued knocking. The prayer's been answered. He's knocking their door. They were knocking the door of heaven. And they opened the door and saw him, and they were astonished. They couldn't believe God had answered them. And that's great when that happens. He can't really take it in. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I can tell you what you're going to do is pray. Somebody said, all we can do is pray. A boy said to me, all we can do is pray. All we can do. That's the best thing you can do. That wee woman in Switzerland used to get a hold of me when I was over there, and if anything went wrong, she used to say, Brother Tom, we have to pray. It's an attack of the enemy. That was what she used to say. It's an attack of the enemy. Tom, let's pray. And she started praying, and I started praying. And I tell you, God answered it. God answered because she was sincere. She was so sincere. Wonderful. Many times we think of the early church, or, you know, as I've already said, that they're better Christians more than us. But look what James tells us. James 5:17, even of the great man Elisha, Elias, was a man subject to passions like as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, that rained not in the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And the Bible says he's subject to all the passions we are. God's telling you and me he was just a man. But I heard him. You know why that's in here? To encourage you and me to pray. Amen. That God will hear us. Why will he hear us? Now, listen to me. Why will he hear us? Because we're not praying an idol or a statue or a picture. But we are praying to the risen Savior in the name that my Bible says is above every single name, the name of Jesus Christ. We have a living sacrifice. Amen. The tomb's empty. This is Easter coming up, and we're going to be hearing about the empty tomb. The Lord's risen. Amen. No longer in the tomb. Glory. He's alive, and we can pray to him, and he can hear us, and he can answer us. Great. And I'll tell you something, you'll be shocked. God can shock you. How many want shocked tonight? I want shocked. For when I mean what God's going to do for us. Amen. I don't mean a bad shock. You ever get electrocuted? I remember when I was 16 getting electrocuted. I couldn't move my arm for weeks. I really got shocked. The plug was at the top of the lead. The fella said to me, go and put the lead in. And I grabbed it. Couldn't let go of it or anything. I stuck to it. The boy ran to the wall and switched it off. And right through my arm for about a week, I couldn't even hardly move. I tell you, it's a shock. But God gives you a shock, I tell you, to lift you onto your feet. Amen. A shock. The Holy Ghost can come on you like a shock, you know. It's energetic. Now I'm serious about this tonight. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, when it comes into your physical body, you'll definitely feel good. There's nothing you could compare to that energizes you. You wouldn't feel a pain or nothing. You could skip around that whole room. That's what the power of God can do for you. They prayed, and God answered, even though they were slow to believe. God still answered. And many times we're slow to believe. All of us are guilty. There's times we don't always have super faith, you know, when we come in a meeting or go to prayer. We don't always come in, you know, skipping on the end of the toes, as it were. You know, ready to jump and skip. Some days are not like that. You have to be real about it. But God's still with you anyhow. But he can give you a skip. Hallelujah. Sometimes God answers prayer not because of our faith, but because of his grace. Hallelujah. The apostle believed in praying for others. His letters are sprinkled with prayers. He moves easily from talking to the readers about God to praying for the readers. That's what Paul does through his writings. Paul is telling us about God, and he moves from that to praying for them. Praying for the Galatians, praying for the Philippians, and all them different people that you can all through there, he prays for them. Now, in turn, Paul also coveted the prayers of the church. He coveted the prayers of the church. Old W.P. Nicholson used to say, don't covet your money, but I covet your prayers. Covet your prayers. You never hear no preachers in the internet, these big evangelists talking like that. What you'll hear them saying is, if you want to support this ministry, here's the pay box. righteous. They covet your money, but you never hear them saying they covet your prayers. But Nicholson prayed that he coveted your prayers. And every one of us, every preacher should covet God's people's prayers. The minister, the preacher needs praying for. You need to pray for him. And if he don't think he's enough fire on him, pray and he gets some. Pray God will turn him upside down, inside out, whatever it takes. That's the truth. And get him lit up. Amen. Glory to God. The apostles did it. The apostle Paul believed in praying for others in all his letters. You hear that? In turn, he coveted the prayers of churches, asking for prayers in every letter he wrote, except the letter to the backslidden Galatians. He never asked for their prayers. In Galatians, you don't read of Paul asking for the prayers, because he needed to pray for them. Amen. And people that's backslid need us to pray for them. We need to pray for them. They may be not in a position to be praying for us, but they need us to pray for them. And you know, young Christians that start so well and fall away, we don't need to ridicule them. Oh, they don't come no more. We need to pray for them.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I was reading and studying today. I was just thinking, the birth of a child is difficult in the natural. It's pain for a few hours. But the lifetime of rearing a child is also painful for a lifetime for a parent, isn't it? There's things happen that brings you stress and worry. Is that the truth? Now think of it in a spiritual sense. When a newborn Christian's birth, but then the journey's just started, they need prayer. And we need to be praying for them to go on. Not to go back, but to go on to the things of God. Praise God. What an honor to think someone has such confidence in our audience with God that they can, you know, people, isn't it people ask you for prayer? Brother, would you pray for sister? Would you pray for us to put up in the aisle? Would you get to church to pray? People have confidence in you to ask you to pray. That's a blessing. That people know that God answers prayer. And they may be not even following the Lord, but something's prompted them to ask it. And we need to pray for them. And I said one night, maybe you wouldn't get the chance maybe to get them into a meeting. They might want to come and all them things, but we can pray for them. The Holy Spirit's not in a box. The Holy Spirit can go anywhere he wants and convict anyone he wants. And we can pray and ask them to do it. Hallelujah. Many young Christians start well, but they soon, you know, they forsake things and all. But we need to pray for them. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Grecians to Galatia, and Titus and Dalmatia. And sometimes people start well, but they don't go on. But we need to go on with God.
Amen.
And if you see someone struggling, pray for them. I want to say, instead of ridiculing them, and I wrote this today, as we, the body of believers, we need to pray for them. Amen. We need to lift them up before the throne of grace and pray for protection round about them. God will protect them. God will move them.
Amen.
When we think of the natural childbirth, it's twofold. I wrote this today, and I maybe already mentioned it. There's the pain of bringing the child into the world, and there's the pain of bringing the child up in the world. The birth of the child is painful, but lasts a few hours. The pain of rearing that same child up lasts a lifetime. Never it's a science. You see them doing things, you don't want them doing it. Not the truth. Not the way I am anyhow. They do things, they don't want them to do it, but they're not listening. But there's one thing that'll change them. Prayer.
Amen.
I know it works. I've proved it. You've proved it. You brothers and sisters have proved. You know prayer works. Why are you here tonight? Because somebody prayed for you. Why am I here tonight? Somebody prayed for me. I know that. And I thank God for it. And you know who led them? The Holy Spirit led them to pray. The devil never leads you to pray. He doesn't want you to pray. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ be formed in you. Paul prayed for them. And we need to pray for them. Paul's parental concern showed itself in all his writings, especially in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work and you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Look back a few verses, you know, and every Every pastor should have this compassion. May the Lord help us. You can build a complex, you know, against people. As a preacher, as a pastor, it can happen. William Branham even said he'd done it, and he was a prophet of God. But look at Philippians 1, verse 3 to 4 says, I thank my God always in every remembrance of you. So the pastor needs to be thanking God for the people of God and all ministers. How many believes that this evening? Amen. I need your prayers, and I hope you know I'm praying for you. It's not the way it should be. Pray one for another. Always in every prayer of mine for you, of making requests with joy. Paul had joy in praying for the people of God. The devil wants to take that away. Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what he said? That's the devil. And instead of people praying for each other, they're backbiting each other. That's the devil. We need to reverse that. We need to pray for each other. And you see, if somebody thinks you've done a wee extra turn wrong, again, you take the extra time and pray the more for them. And see what God will do. We can't have no iniquity in our heart. God won't hear us. We need to get rid of everything and give it over to Jesus. Amen? Philippians 1 verse 10 and verse 19, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Prayer. You want more Spirit? Pray more. Amen. Now I'm going to close in a moment and give us time to prayer. Now I want you to see these things designed. You know, things were designed to harm Paul. There were things designed to harm Paul's work, but they didn't work. Now they looked like they harmed him because he got jailed. When Paul went to Rome, Paul didn't expect to go to Rome in handcuffs, was guaranteed. And Paul expected to go into Rome in a revival, but it never happened. He went in handcuffs. How many knows I'm preaching the truth tonight? Sometimes it doesn't work out the way you think, but still Paul said God was behind it all. The things that people thought would harm him done him good. He was more effective. And maybe he didn't even think of himself at the time, but it was. Paul's heart had been set in going to Rome in Exodus 19:21. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Now, the Catholic Church say Peter went to Rome, but there's no scripture, but Paul did. The Bible says Paul did. How many knows that? But he hadn't planned to see Rome the way he saw it. He didn't plan it to get into it. He was led into Rome dragging chains as a prisoner. But yet Paul insists this has made its mission the more successful. Imagine a triple cut. But he says it's more successful. He had testified for the Lord in Caesar's palace in Philippians 1:13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The Lord used them. Verse 19 of Philippians tells us, chapter 1, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So there's a supplication and there's a supply. And God wants us to have the supplication, and God will give the supply of the Spirit. Amen. My, we need a supply of it, don't we? Amen. You know, like the few of the minutes, I've never seen the like of it. It's so expensive, half of it's to the government, however it works. But anyhow, it's expensive to run a vehicle. And you think of it in the spiritual tonight, we need to be praying for the supply of the Spirit. God would fill us. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to say it again, brothers, and I have said it in this meeting before, and I make no apologies for it. We need tongues. We need tongues. We need men and women praying in the Spirit of God. Now I'm not talking about an act, I'm talking the real thing. Praying in the Spirit of God and the real Holy Ghost. Praying. And I tell you something will happen. We know we need the supply of the Spirit, but what about your prayers? Paul is saying that the prayers are just they're necessary for the deliverance of the supply. You want the supply? You need to pray. Amen. More prayer, more supply. Amen. There's no substitution for prayer. Three things I want to mention here, and then I'm going to close. Three things about Paul knew. He knew the Philippians were praying for him. He knew it. If you ever go away and you're preaching and you know there's people praying for you, it makes a difference. Do you ever hear somebody coming back and they say, I felt your prayers? There's truth in that. There is. Absolutely. Then the other thing, he knew that when he received this letter, they would pray even the more for him. So when he gave them a wee update, he knew they'd pray more. I baptized 10 over there, brothers. And there's only one came there, but then over there, there's a wee one got healed. And they're going to encourage and they're going to pray more for them. Amen. And here's another thing he knew. He knew their prayers should bring the blessing of God upon them. That's what he knew. Amen. Balaam went out to curse Israel. He couldn't. He had to bless them. Glory. One verse and I'm closing. One more scripture. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came on us at Aeneas, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength insomuch that we despaired even life, verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Praying for them. That the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. A lot of things you come through, but people were praying for you. It could have been different. Prayer was made. Somebody said, oh, God's will be done. It will, and you're part of it. You're part of it. That's why you're hearing about prayer. God wants you to pray. That's why God's a plan to preach salvation to get people saved. He wants them to hear it. That's how God works. He needs you and me. And we certainly need him. Let's come and pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this evening. That you're not a God that's afar off, but your ear is ever open to their cry. We bless your name this evening, Lord Jesus, that you do hear and answer prayer. Lord, you said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, we're praying again tonight. We're praying for our sons, our daughters, for the husband, for the wife, for the aunt, for the uncle, for the niece, for the nephew. Lord, that you'll save everyone that's on hearts tonight. Move in that young man, move in that young woman, move in the older man, the older woman. Convict them by the Holy Spirit. Cover them with your blood. Protect them from all the wiles of the enemy and save them, we pray. Pray again for John Deal tonight in Florence. Lord, that you'll move in the both of them, and especially John Deal. You'll touch him and raise him up. Speak to them, Lord. Bring him to the knowledge of the truth. Move in Jeffrey and Jacqueline and all the family. Save every one of them, we pray. Father, for others tonight, you know each and every one. We ask for a household salvation to every single home that's represented in this room tonight. Lord, for complete salvation, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn their feet, Lord. Turn their path. Save them, we pray. We ask for a supply of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the meetings. We pray you'll help us to uplift and glorify the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to present you and exalt you, that your name will be lifted and glorified. And we know you said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Father, bless every brother and every sister in this room tonight. Answer prayer and meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, even things maybe that's happened to miss or someone's took place and people don't know what to do about it, we bring it all before you tonight. And we just pray that you'll have your way in every situation. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just continue to seek the Lord this evening.